I always enjoy coming here and preaching. My heart goes out to your pastor, though, and the loss of his dad, and for their family. I don't like having to fill the pulpit for something like that, but I'm glad I could be here with you. Glad I could help him out a little bit and bring in the Word of God today. And continue to pray for our family, if you would. I appreciate it. I've had a few physical things going on, and I had to have a biopsy done on my thyroid and a few other things. So just be in prayer, if you would, for me. And then just thank you for your prayers. I know you guys pray for us all the time, and I sure appreciate that. You can tell my voice is a little bit hoarse. It's been getting like that. It gets worse and worse. Some days you can't hear me well at all, but I'll try to speak up today if I can as much as possible. But Revelation chapter 3, verse. I want to begin reading with you in verse 14. Then we're going to look at the church of Laodicea. Just a thought in this morning. We're not going to study the church here, but he said, "Unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have no need of nothing." Boy, I tell you, that's the sad state of the church in many places today. He says, "And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." They think that because they got all the goods of the world and everything's going okay, that they don't recognize what is going wrong in their life or what's going wrong in their church. He said, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, and thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now, Father, thank you for your word, and I ask God you would use this morning. Help, Lord, as we look into this thought of this in this text, Lord. And God, help me to stay true to your word, and that you'd have all the honor and the glory now in Christ's precious name. Amen. As I look at this thought, I'm only going to take a thought out of this passage of Scripture where he says to them in verse 15, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. I wish you were one or the other." He says, "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth," he says. So because you're not either one, he says, I can't take that taste in my mouth. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth, get rid of it. Now watch a thought I have here this morning. I'd like to speak, and I know he's speaking about the church and the hot and the cold and lukewarm, how they're no service of God anymore. But I'm going to talk to you a little bit about and applying this to the born-again believer's life. The hot Christian, the lukewarm Christian, and the cold Christian. Think about that for a minute. The hot Christian, the lukewarm Christian, and the cold Christian. In Luke chapter 16, go with me. In fact, somebody go to Luke 16, and I'm going to have a couple of you read some different scriptures. Somebody take Luke 16 and verse 13. Who would do that one? Luke 16, 13, quickly. I need a volunteer, all right? Then I got down on the end, so Caden, you're out. Your brother took it down there. Then I need 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 through verse 21. Who will take that? Okay, your other brother. And then I need Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 to 25. All right, the other brother. Kate, if you jump in there, here's one. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Can you get that?
Yeah.
All right. You got 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Everybody know where they're going so far? You got your scriptures? Okay. Then I need 2 Timothy 2:15. All right, Landon, that's yours since you didn't put up your hand. All right. And then I need Malachi 3. Who wants to do Malachi for me? 3. Ray, you take that one. Malachi 3:10. You got to have your Bible with you, man. Malachi 3:10. And then how about Colossians 3:1-2? All right, Rachel. And then how about 1 Peter 3:7? Miss Karis, could you get that?
1 Peter 3:7.
Yes. All right. And then I'll have three more after these, after we get down to this part right here. 2 Timothy 2:15. All right. So Luke 6:13. Read Luke 6:13 for me. You can stand up and read.
No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon.
All right, yeah, mammon being the worldly aspect of worldly things, some would say dealing with money, but it's dealing with a wide range of things in that text. Luke 16:13. So here we get out of that verse. The hot Christian, listen, loves God. All right, the hot Christian loves God. The lukewarm Christian loves God and the world. He doesn't separate the two. He's worldly in a lot of his aspects, but might come to church on Sunday morning and just raise his hands and praise the Lord and sing songs and worship God, but the rest of the week he's not doing anything for the Lord. And I think if you love the Lord, I think you would do something for him, don't you? Amen. And then the cold Christian has contempt for God. The cold Christian. Now this cold Christian is going to remind you of something before I come to the end of this message, because this cold Christian sometimes reminds me of someone who really maybe has never been saved. But he has contempt. He says he's a Christian, but boy, something happened at the church. Something happened in his life. Something happened between him and a preacher. Something happened between him and somebody else in the church. Somebody happened to him and somebody else outside the church. And now he has contempt. God doesn't love me. I have nothing to do. I don't want to go to church anymore. And I've known a number of Christians who went to church for a number of years and then just quit over some silly, stupid little things. So listen again, the hot Christian loves God, the lukewarm Christian loves God and the world, and the cold Christian has contempt for God. 1 John 4:17, read that through 21. Yep, 1 John.
Fear has
All right, so here we see that the hot Christian loves the brethren. It doesn't matter if they're Baptist, doesn't matter if they're a brother in Christ, amen. You might not like the direction their church is going, you might like what that church does, you might not like what that Christian does, but you are still commanded to love the brethren. And he says, how can you love the love God if you hate the brethren? So we see that the hot Christian, the one who really loves God, is one who's going to love the brethren. You might not like everything the brethren do, amen. I'm not talking about the brethren fellowship, the brethren churches, no. I'm talking about churches in period that are born-again believers. You might not like what they do, but you need to love the brethren. The man that led me to the Lord was not a Baptist. He was a Nazarene, and I loved him, amen. And this became a dear, dear friend of mine. My father in the faith challenged me many, many times. And in fact, it wasn't some Baptist that visited me in prison that led me to the Lord. It was him. And boy, I thank the Lord for that. 1 John 4:17-21, love the brethren. And the lukewarm Christian is critical of the brethren. No matter what goes on, he's always critical about something that another person is doing in the church. No matter what that person is doing, how that person is serving, he's just critical about it. He doesn't want to have nothing really good to say about it. So in his criticism, he might say things that hurt the people who he's supposed to be loving. So we need to love the brethren, amen, and don't have contempt for them, and don't be critical of them, and then the cold Christian has contempt for the brethren. He doesn't want anything to do with them. He doesn't want to be around a person who's not right with God, does not want to be around Christians who are right with God. Did you pick up on that? If you're not right with God, you don't want to be around Christians who are right with God. Because their life is going to convict you of the sin that is in your life. And so what begins to happen, then no longer are they critical, but now they are, what, contemptuous towards them and have nothing good to say about them, have nothing good to say about the church. Well, that church, you know what they did to me. Well, you know what that brethren did to me. You know what he said. You know what happened here. And they let all that stuff begin to weigh on them, and it begins to stop them from wanting to serve God the way they ought to serve God. So they end up with contempt for the brethren, contempt for churches, contempt for something that's not exactly like they are. So the hot, lukewarm, and cold Christian, again, the hot Christian loves God, the lukewarm Christian loves God in the world, and the cold Christian, what, has contempt for God. And then the hot Christian loves the brethren, the lukewarm Christian's critical of the brethren, and the cold Christian has contempt for the brethren. And look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 through verse 25. All right, so here's what we get out of this text, all those thoughts there in that verse, is that the hot Christian goes to church. Goes to church. Why? Why does he go to church? Not to criticize, not to say that I love God one day and don't love him the next, but he goes to church because he wants to learn, and then he goes to church because he wants to serve. Amen. I hope you don't just come to church and sit there and hear the word preached. That's good. But after a certain period of time, you ought to want to learn more and more and more. And then you ought to want to serve somewhere in the church. You ought to want to do something to serve the Lord. I notice as you get older, there's certain things you can't do that you could do when you were 20. Amen. when you could serve in different ways when you were 20 than you can when you're 72 or 80 like Rachel down here. You know? Just a minute. Oh, I'm sorry. Landon, would you give me a water right there, please? I appreciate it. So we see that the hot Christian loves to go to church. The lukewarm Christian goes to church, but it's usually for special days or friend days or because he's made to go. You know, mom might get him up in the morning, or dad might get him up and say, we're going to church. And he doesn't want to go to church, but he goes to church because he's fallen underneath the authority of his parents. I've known some kids who don't go to church, you know, and don't want to go to church. Even if their mom or dad are going to church, or even if their grandparents are going to church, they don't want nothing to do with church. I don't know. I always made my kids go to church. Amen. Really, there wasn't much of making it because they didn't have a choice. You know, I was the preacher. They had to go. I didn't want to go sometimes, but they had to go. Amen. So you see that but then the cold Christians only go because he's made to go. That's it. Only because he's made. No other reason other than the fact that I was preaching in a church one time and I had two boys when I was pastoring that sat in the back on this side in the last pew, and they'd sit there like this with their arms crossed, and then pretty soon they'd be going to sleep. And one time they started sleeping, they started banging on the pulpit, you know. They're, wake up! You know, scared them half to death back there when they were back in the pew. But the only reason they came is because their dad was a deacon and he made them go to church. Amen. I'm glad he did. There was a time when he was that same boy, another time when I come in on Wednesday night and it was the middle of summer and I'm getting ready to give the Bible lesson. I start and all of a sudden I hear a lawnmower out in the front yard of the church. And I look out the window and he's out there mowing the lawn on a riding tractor. And I told his dad was sitting there. I said, Art, I said, you go out and get him off that tractor and get him here in the church. And he said, he's not going to mow that lawn while church is going on in here. This is where he needs to be. And so he got out and came back in with him. And later on, after the service, he told me, he said, I don't want to make him rebellious. I said, Art, he's already rebellious. Amen. Get him in the house of God. Get him into the preaching. After he's out of the home, if he don't want to go to church, that's his choice. But while he's in your home, you make him do what's right. So that's just how it ought to be today. And could you imagine your dad and mom letting you mow the lawn while he's preaching? I couldn't either. Now, your dad might talk to you, but your mom will beat you to death. I know his mom is my daughter. Amen. In fact, she might beat your dad to death. I don't know. Then look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, a very simple verse.
Pray without ceasing.
That's it. Pray without ceasing. That was a short verse, wasn't it? Yeah, pray without ceasing. So we look at this thought, pray without ceasing, and we see that the hot Christian has a deep prayer life. And I have to admit to you, I like my prayer life to be deeper than what it is. Amen. But the hot Christian, it means he wants to pray and he spends time in prayer. The lukewarm Christian, though, he prays for personal wants or when he is asked to pray. He prays when he wants something. It gives me a thought. I've been working on a new message for around Christmas time next year. And I'm gonna entitle what do you want for Christmas? Because what has happened is we have made Christmas about us and not about Christ. So Christmas is what can I get? This is what I want. This is what I need. This is what. And I'm wondering if maybe we've missed the whole picture because Christ didn't come to get. Christ came to give.
That's right, amen.
And I'm just wondering if maybe we should give instead of asking to get.
Yeah.
Think about it. I wonder what would happen if you know, one year, if you decide to take all the money from Christmas as a family, any family, and say, we're going to save this year, and then we're going to help some needy family. Amen. No, I like my gifts. I'm telling you, you know, I do. But we make it about us, so we need to be careful, do we not? Let's not forget others out there as a result. Let's not forget what they need. But a lukewarm Christian prays for personal wants or when he is asked to pray. That's when his prayer life comes in. He's asked to pray, and so then that's the only time he prays. Might only pray at the mealtime, might only pray if he's asked to pray in church, doesn't pray any other time of the week, but he'll stand up and he'll pray. And then the cold Christian prays when he's in trouble. A little bit late then, isn't it? He's in trouble. But God will forgive, so there needs to be prayer, absolutely. But that's when the lukewarm, or that's when the cold Christian prays, when he gets in trouble. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
All right. So we see that the hot Christian studies the word, and because of that, God speaks to him, and he trusts God with all his heart. God speaks to him. You know, when you read the Bible, have you ever read the Bible? I'm sure you have. And there's been something going on in your life, or maybe all of a sudden God shows you something that you ought not to be doing because of the Word of God, and he's speaking to your heart. Amen. Well, the hot Christian studies the Word, and God speaks to him. God's always showing him. Sometimes it's correction. Sometimes it's help. Sometimes it's always help, but sometimes it's, you know, for some other reason maybe. So and then he trusts God because he's in his word continually. So when he has a question, when something comes up in his life, where does he go? He goes to the Bible. A lot of times, first thing we go to is the pastor, and there's nothing wrong with that. Or we go to somebody else, or we go to some self-help book when we need to. Really, we ought to be in the Word of God. Amen. And the lukewarm Christian, he reads sometimes. Sometimes. And God is silent to him, but he tells God what he will do. This is what I'm going to do, Lord. You know, that's the lukewarm Christian. But the cold Christian never reads, but knows the Bible. That's what he thinks, and he taunts God. See, he don't read, but he knows it. What I mean by that is this. You ever known somebody that they know something about everything and they know nothing? That's the cold Christian. He'll argue about little things, you know, and and if he does quote any of the Bible, he quotes it out of context. And he tries to use it to twist you and twist your mind and twist your thoughts rather than accept what the very Word of God says. Hey, read Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. I think that was that Ray. It's the book right before Matthew. Just messing with you. Chapter 3 and verse 10. If you like me, I got to lick my fingers to change the pages.
Out
Amen. So here we see that in fact, if you go on to read about that, he says, if you do this, I can't remember the text, what it says exactly. He talks about putting the devourer down, that what you have will multiply, what you have will stay. You won't lose what you have because you're honoring God with your tithe. You know, I always wondered about this, about tithing, you know. I never really understood it when I was first saved. But as the Lord dealt with me over a number of things, I started tithing. You know what? I've never gone without. I've had people tell me sometimes if I tithe, I wouldn't make it. If I gave God my 10%, preacher, you don't understand how much I get. I don't get much at all. I understand that. But if you don't tithe, you want to know why you don't have anything. Well, that's why. You tithe and God will bless you. He'll bless you every time. He'll always take care of your needs. You just need to do your part. What's tithe? If you're not sure, well, tithe is 10%. $100 is $10. $1,000 is $100. Amen? I tell you what, I guarantee you that most of the time we find money for cell phones. We find money for cell phone bills, which are tremendous, you know. I went with Consumer Cellular this last year. My wife and I, two phones. I had the phones, but two, $55 a month. You can't beat that. Unlimited. Amen. I love it. You know what I'm saying? I tried to save money because my bill was pretty high there for a long time, you know. But we'll find money for all these other things. But boy, I tell you, it's so easy just to want to hang on to that. When we see $150 going out for a phone bill, it's easy to want to hang on to what you have left. So I learned a long time ago that when you tithe, give it the first thing. You get your check, take it right out immediately, and put it in an envelope. Or if you write a check, put it in an envelope, and have it ready for when you get to church. Amen. That's how God will bless you. I'm telling you. Well, see, the hot Christian loves to tithe and he loves to offer. He does. He just gives tithes and he gives offerings. The lukewarm Christian, he eats the apple and gives the core. You know what that is? The core is the leftover. Amen. Yeah, so he eats the apple and he gives the apple core. I like the apple core. I eat the whole thing. Sometimes I might, if there's a little stem in there, I might even swallow that. Amen. It'll all come out in the end. Don't worry about it. Amen. So I don't mind that, but that's what the lukewarm Christian does. He will eat the apple. Otherwise, he will take what he wants first, and then God just gets the leftover. So God doesn't get the tithe. He might get $10 when the tithe ought to be $100. He might get $10 when the tithe ought to be $40. Amen. He might get $5 if the tithe ought to be $10. I'm just saying that's the lukewarm and cold Christian. Look at the Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. Colossians 3, 1 through 2.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
Amen. So I wrote down, and you could apply this into many different areas. I'm going to apply it to music, all right, because that's one of the areas in the church today that has really gone sideways in a lot of churches. You can apply it all kinds of, you apply it with movies, with books, or whatever you want to apply it with. But I put down the hot Christian likes the music that God likes. Amen. The stuff that's honoring to God. Not the stuff that's honoring to them, but the stuff that is honoring to God. And music ought to honor God. Amen. It ought to honor God. And I like Southern Gospel, but there's some groups of Southern Gospel I don't want to listen to. Because I don't care for the, I don't care for the beat and the music that they use. I don't care for some of the other things they have. But I like music, and I like, excuse me, I like Southern gospel. And maybe you do too. But you need to be careful, even in that, who you're listening to, what kind you're listening to. The lukewarm Christian likes God's music and the world's music. We see that a lot today, amen. You go into churches and they got the big drums set up on the platform and they're beating the drums all the crazy. I'm not against drums, listen to me. But I don't think they ought to be played like the Beatles used to play the rock and roll either. Amen. And I don't think guitar, you got, I love your music here. I don't think guitars should be played the same way either. Amen. There's a reason when we play, boy, in a piano, Landon plays a piano. When we play piano, or when me and you play piano, and when those things ought to be something that we don't need to come in and do the boogie woogie. Amen. Where's that in honoring God? It's not. We need to. The hot Christian loves God's music. The lukewarm Christian loves God's music and the world's music. And then the cold Christian loves sensual music. Yeah. Sensual music. And there's even some Christian music that comes out sensually if we're not careful. All right, go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. All right, so here we would see that that was 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. So here we would see that the hot Christian husband honors his wife. That means he holds her in high esteem. And I'd have to be honest with you, there's times I have not, amen, I'm sure every person in here. By the way, you boys, listen to me. You need to hold your mother in high esteem. Amen. And I tell you what, that's how you need to look at her. She brought you into the world. You know, my wife said, I brought you into the world. I can take you out too. Amen. I think she meant it sometimes. So the hot Christian loves and honors his wife, the hot Christian husband. Now, you guys aren't husbands yet, but one day, hopefully you will be, amen. Hopefully we can find somebody to love Caden, you know, just saying, you know. So a hot Christian husband honors his wife. The lukewarm Christian pretends to honor his wife in public or at church or for their own benefit. When he wants something, then he honors his wife. And when he's in public, he might honor his wife. But when he's in private, it's a whole different ball game. Or at the church, he might honor his wife. And people will think, boy, what a great Christian man. And they have no idea what's going on at home. And that's a sad truth. I've known men, but I tell you what, I love my son-in-laws. I told your dad the same thing I told Mark or Matthew. That's the two small M&Ms. I'm the big M&M, Mike. So I told them both before they married my daughters. I says, if you ever hurt them, lay a hand on them. I'll lay a hand on you. Do I mean it? He knows I mean it, you know. I told my granddaughter when she got married, I told her husband to be, I will hurt you if you hurt her. I love my grandkids, love my daughters. In fact, I told him, I said, if I can't get to you, I know somebody in every state because I was in prison, I'll just send them your way. That's what That's what I told him. Then he started, he just looked at me and I said, all right, Harry, I'm just messing with you. No, take this, I'm just messing with you. Although I do know everybody, somebody in every state probably. Okay, then the cold Christian never honors his wife. Just doesn't anywhere. Doesn't anywhere. Well, I've seen some things go on in stores and in gas station parking lots. I have a dear friend, a pastor down in Florida, and he was standing at the pump one day, and some guy was there, and he was shoving his wife and screaming at her and reading back he was going to hit her, and he walked over between them, and he said, listen, he said, I don't think you should be doing that right. It ain't none of your business. He said, well, I'm sorry, but I'm making it my business. And I don't think he would have messed with that pastor. He was pretty tough growing up like me. He's a lot better shape than I am, amen. I told my grandboys, I got, what, how many grandsons did I say? Five? Had six, got five of you left. And I always told them that if you, six grandsons, don't I? Five granddaughters. Oh. Well, I never count Ty, I always leave him out. I told him, I said, you might get to the point where you can put grandpa on the ground, but I'm going to hurt you going down. Amen. Do I mean it? Yes. He's getting to the point where thumping him don't hurt him much anymore. He laughs at me. 1 Peter. Now I need somebody to read 1 Peter chapter 3. And Rachel, why don't you take that one? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. And then Kenny, would you take Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2? And Kyle, would you take Acts chapter 1, verse 8? Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7.
You said verse 1.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, no, it is verse 1. I'm sorry. You got it. Okay, so I'll give you an illustration on that. I had a lady in the church when I was pastoring that her husband did not want her coming to church. He was Catholic, she was Baptist. She was saved, he was not saved. And every Sunday morning she came to me finally, she said, Pastor, I wouldn't recommend this to tell everybody this, but I knew him. And so I thought I'm going to try something with him. So she came to me, she said, Pastor, she said, he's so mad at me when I go to church on Sunday morning. She said, but I need to be in church. And I said, I know it, Marge. She says, well, I said, here's what I want you to do. I said, next Sunday morning, come out of your bedroom, come out with just your robe on when you come out, dressed up with your robe, you know, your pajamas on, your robe on over it. And when you sit down and have coffee with him like you usually do, just look him in the eyes and say, Mike, his name is Mike. Mike's a bullheaded name, man. He said, just say, Mike, you know, I love you. I love you. And I'd really like to be in church today, but if you really want me to stay home, I'll stay home today. I love you, Mike. But I love the Lord too. And he said, go on to church. About a year later, I led him to the Lord in his living room of his house. Now, her conversation, that's your lifestyle, how you live your life. It's not just what you say that includes that, but the word conversation there means how we live, how we're acting, how we're behaving. And it says for the Christian wife to be in subjection to her husband. Aren't you glad you're not supposed to be in subjection to me? Amen. Now, as a pastor, there's certain things all of you are subject to. Amen. If you have a pastor in your pulpit, like Pastor Garver, then you, there are some things that you are subject to because he is the authority over the local church. But in the home, you Ray cannot come into my home and tell my wife what to do. I might knock you down, amen. And if I came into your house and started chewing you out about what your wife ought to do, you ought to knock me down. I'm just simply saying that there's a proper time and a proper place, but the Christian wife is to be subject unto her husband. And if she is, she's a hot Christian wife, she will be in subjection to him. The lukewarm Christian wife pretends to submit. Reminds a little bit about the husband that pretends to honor, doesn't it? Pretends to submit in public or at church or for her own benefit. In public or at church or for her own benefit. Boy, once she goes out that door, look out. There's trouble in the gravel, amen. And then the cold Christian wife will never submit. Just will never submit. It's interesting, as a Bible, a verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, submitting yourselves how? One, what? To another. Amen? Submitting yourselves one to another. That means you're preferring, you're putting other people before yourself. So the cold Christian wife will never submit. She's just not going to do it. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Amen.
Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise.
There you go. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. I remember when I was preaching down in North Carolina one time, and I parked in the church parking lot, and I was doing revival meetings, and it was one of the nights we used to do a six-day meeting down there. One of the nights in those meetings, I think Friday night or Thursday night, I was done preaching, and we were all talking down front, the pastor and I, and a bunch of teenagers, about 10 teenagers are sitting down here, guys and gals, you know, on this side down here in the front right. And Cale grabs my Bible, or his Bible, and he starts to walk up to the pulpit. And the pastor says to him, Cale, he says, you gonna preach? He says, yep. And he walked up three steps, and he come over to this side of the pulpit looking at the teenagers, and he says, the Bible says, children obey my parents. He goes like this, children obey my parents in the Lord. Amen. So, and everybody just started laughing, amen, because we always told him you need to obey your parents, you know. So he's getting that. That's my parents, amen. So he wants everybody to obey his parents, amen. So we see the Christian children obey and honor their parents. That, again, means you hold your mother and your father in a high esteem. You look at them in a mannerism. Not like the world looks at their children, not like the children of the world look at their parents, I mean, but you look at them to bring honor and glory to God. And then the lukewarm Christian, only on the outside, church or church, in church or public, or again for their own benefit. So that's the lukewarm Christian. And then the cold Christian teen is openly rebellious. Openly rebellious. You can see it from day one, and you can see it whenever they come into the church. You can see it every time their mother or their father tell them to do something. You can see that there's always an argument there. I remember there's a young man one time went to Bible college, 19. He told me the story himself, 19 years old. And he comes from college, comes back home for a weekend, or for a couple, at least for a few days at home. And he said, when he's at home, he said, I was in the kitchen, and he says, in there with my mom, and my mom said, take out the garbage. And he said, you know, I'm old enough now, maybe you could do it, or dad or somebody else can do it. Just sort of mouthing off to her. And his mom just looked at him. Well, his dad was standing in the doorway behind him, and he didn't see him. And his dad was a pastor. Now, this kid, he said, Brother Mike, he says, 19 years old. And my dad said, son, go down to my office. And he said, that meant when I go down to his office, I'm going to get whooped. 19 years old, Bible college, working a job. And my dad's going to whoop me. He says, so I walked down to his office, and my dad said, bend over my desk. He did. He said, you got that paddle out? And he said, he nailed my butt 2 or 3 times. And he said, when my dad was all done, I turned around, he was crying. He said, I don't ever want to have to do that to you again. He said, I've obeyed my mother ever since. Amen. There ought to be something right there. There ought to be something there. Don't be openly rebellious. Serve God. Follow God. Obey and honor your parents. Luke chapter 8, chapter 1, verse 8. Who did I give that to?
You said Acts chapter 1, verse 8.
Yep. What did I say, Luke?
You said Acts.
All right, Acts chapter 1, verse 8.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen. So we see the hot Christian wants to witness, wants to talk about the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and is not afraid to talk about the Lord, you know. And I always felt that if I could talk about a football game, and how Ohio State should have beat Michigan this year, why can't I talk about the Lord?
Right.
Amen. If I can sit down and talk to somebody about a book, why can't I talk about the Lord? So we ought to spend time witnessing the people as believers in Jesus Christ. But the lukewarm Christian, that's the hot Christian, he will witness. The lukewarm Christian witnesses at church. I got saved, January 15th, 1974. But that's the only time they witness. And that's a good witness, amen. That's a good witness, but that's the only time they witness, you know. I love the Lord. They don't talk to anybody else about the Lord. They don't talk to anybody on the street about the Lord. They don't talk to anybody or hand out any tracts. They don't talk to anybody how they can be saved themselves. You know, they just don't do it. So the lukewarm Christian witnesses the church, but the cold Christian, he never witnesses. You know why? Because people are watching his life. They're watching him, and he knows it. And if he starts to witness, there's some things he's going to have to change. And he doesn't want to change. And that's a sad fact of the truth. Amen. So you look at that cold Christian. Reminds you a lot maybe of somebody who's never been saved. Amen. Look at the hot Christian. You know they're saved. Look at the lukewarm Christian. You know he's just got trouble. He needs to deal with some things between him and the Lord. So you have your choice. You can be hot, lukewarm, or cold. I had a lady come up to me one night after church service. She said, Brother Mike, I said, yep. She says, I've been cold in every one of those areas. She said, thank you. Boy, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be cold. I don't want to be a cold Christian. Amen. I'd rather be hot. He said, I'd rather have you be hot or cold rather than lukewarm. But that cold Christian is a terrible thing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Father, thank you now for the Sunday school hour. Thank you for what you've done here this morning. I pray, God, it was to honor and glorify you now in Christ's name. Amen.